The 2025 All-Ireland Football Championship would literally be like none other before. The raft of changes introduced by the Football Review Committee had been given time to bed in during the league, and the destination of Sam Maguire this year had the possibility of being settled by an accurate two-pointer or a timely hooter, as much as a moment of traditional skill or individual brilliance. In a year of seismic changes in the world of Gaelic football, it seemed as if the big beasts had found their footing the quickest, with Kerry beating Mayo by 6 points in the Division 1 league final. A week later, Mayo didn't look like league finalists or that sure of foot, as they laboured to a 220-217 win over Sligo in the quarterfinals of the Connacht Championship, with two-pointers from Alan McLaughlin and Niall Murphy's two-point range making things nervy for the perennial bridesmaids.
Murphy curves this one superbly over the bar. That's one of the scores of the first half. What a way to end the first half for Sligo.
Well, 3,200 miles west at Gaelic Park the same day, things were far more comfortable for Galway, with two Matthew Tierney goals guiding Pádraig Joyce's side to a 328-20-point win over New York, setting up a Connacht semi with Roscommon, who accounted for London in Ruislip on the opening day of the Football Championship.
Roscommon comes around quick now. Yeah, it does, and that's the joy of it. Yeah, they were in London yesterday, so look, both teams will get home next week and get a bit of training done, so that'll be a great battle in Galway in 2 weeks' time. Yeah, and we've got all to do there now in Ferris, so it's a game looking forward to, and it's going to be a big occasion, a big crowd as well.
The same weekend in April, the first stirrings of what was to come from Meath were felt by Carlo, who fell to a 130-19-point loss to the Royal County, for whom Rory Kinsella scored 1-5 that day. In the same half of the draw, Wicklow were too good for fellow Division 4 side Longford to set up a Leinster quarter final with Dublin. And in the top half of Leinster, Laois had a 10-point cushion in their defeat of Wexford, and it was Louth next for the O'Moores. The typically competitive Ulster Championship opened with a bang as Donegal began their defence of the Anglo-Celt Cup with a 125-115 beating of Derry and Ballybuffet, making his first championship start in 3 years. One of the architects of the new rules, Michael Murphy, was curtailed to a single point, but 7 points from Paddy McBrearty and 1-5 from Dara O'Bweel helped secure the win for Donegal. A 10-point margin in the end, but Jim McGuinness told our Tommy Rooney that he'd have been happy even if the scoreline had been narrower.
I know you're well used to playing with tricky wind conditions in Donegal, but did you feel like you needed to up the ante before that spell before the break? Like, it felt like it was important, just that run when O'Bweel got 2 two-pointers in the goal.
No, it is, but you know, I suppose the experience of the Ulster Championship tells you, like, you've got to be calm and composed and just deal with the challenges that have been laid ahead of you, and you want to be scoring and you're thinking about the rules and you're thinking about 2-pointers, but you can't deviate from that because the other manager and the other team are thinking about ways how to stop that, and so you just have to, you've got to suck that up and you've got to deal with that, and then just trust your own processes over the period of the 70 minutes. And I think we did that quite well. We were never kind of off script in that sense, and I think that's an important thing moving forward, because, you know, the one thing we know for a fact is those challenges are coming every single day. they are coming, and there's people sitting at home thinking about how they can do things all the time, and those challenges are coming, and so it's really important, you know, that the collective is calm and tries to work through them as best they can.
Quarterfinal weekend in Munster saw Brian O'Driscoll send over a couple of 2-pointers for sleeping Giants Cork in their 24-13 win over Limerick. A sterner test in Kerry would await the Rebels in the semi-finals. And having suffered a first championship defeat to Waterford in 36 years, 12 months previously, there will be no repeat for Tipperary. Philly Ryan's Chargers had a 3-point cushion in the end, but he was happy to retain their underdog status for their Munster semi-final with Clare a fortnight later.
We've had an awful lot of turnover since 2020, but I suppose that's just part and parcel of it. I suppose the demands for players now are gone through the roof, so lads have lives outside of football and GAs, so it's we're not the only county to lose players. It's just this point we've lost so many all at once. But look, we've new players coming in, pushing the boat on another bit, and I suppose it's great for them to get a win today, get a taste of a win in championship. Like, there's no better feeling. Yeah.
Yeah, off tennis now, isn't it, against Clare?
Yeah, off tennis now against Clare in 2 weeks' time. So look, we'll dust ourselves down and get back on the training pitch now next week, and head into a Munster semi-final. Great place to be.
A week later, Armagh's defence of the Sam Maguire got underway in earnest as they took on Antrim. Dispute over the venue for that Ulster quarter-final dominated the build-up to the game, Having been drawn first, Antrim were the designated home side, but Ulster GAA claimed that Corrigan Park's 4,000 capacity was not up to snuff. The GPA had even gotten involved, with the Antrim players themselves saying, "We have worked too hard to earn this game at Corrigan Park, and that is where it will be. Corrigan Park is our home, and we expect to play there as originally scheduled." Ulster GAA eventually relented, but Armagh goalkeeper Ethan Rafferty told Off the Ball they were determined to lay down a marker in Belfast.
Yeah, like, we're looking forward to it, because outside of the All-Ireland, the Ulster Championship is the hardest thing to win, so we're looking forward to it and having a good rattle at it. Like, the whole Corrigan thing, like, they were asked for an opinion on it, and it was given to the GPA, and they released it, and we still are of the opinion that it's the right thing to do to play it there. But like, we're looking at it from a performance point of view. Like, we just finished the league last weekend and we reviewed it the way we did, and we straight away were looking to how we can play the game against Antrim. No matter where it's in my backyard or if it's in Corrigan Park or wherever it is, we have to play a game against these players.
So, home advantage would only get Antrim so far, however, despite three first half two-pointers from Patrick McBride, keeping the Saffrons in contention. Rafferty was black-carded in the concession of a penalty, but a save from Blaine Hughes helped Armagh keep their hosts at arm's length. Rafferty would later be introduced as an outfielder, scoring 3 points as the All-Ireland champions emerged with a 134-123 victory. That win set up a blockbuster Ulster semi-final with Tyrone as the Red Hand County beat Cavan the day after Armagh's win. That same weekend was quarter-final weekend in Leinster. 7 years on from Newbridge or nowhere, St Connolly's Park almost had an off-Broadway feel on the second Sunday of April as Kildare edged out Westmeath by just a couple of points, with David Hyland's second half goal proving influential. The Lilywhites would play the winners of a game also played in Newbridge that weekend. Second half goals from Ryan Burns and Kieran Byrne helped Jer Brennan's side beat Laois 216-17 points as Louth began their campaign to win a first Leinster title in 68 years.
We won't get away with elements of our play today against the Dublin or Meath. We will get punished, and we won't be coming out of Croke Park with the Delaney Cup. We'll have to seriously up it and ensure that we can improve all aspects of our game, particularly that kind of midfield from kickouts for and against. That's something we have to really go after.
On the other side of the Leinster draw, Dublin had flattered to deceive during the league. A win in Killarney was offset by defeats to Ulster powerhouses Donegal, Tyrone and Armagh. Despite a narrowing of the gap in Leinster, Wicklow were never really likely to be the ones to dethrone Desi Farrell's men. Con O'Callaghan top scored with 1-7 on a blustery afternoon in Aughrim, with the Dubs winning 221-18 points. Up until mid-April, Mickey Hart had been performing a second revival job in Leinster. The All-Ireland winner with Tyrone had been vindicated with his decision to take on the Offaly job, leading the faithful to the Division 3 title at Croke Park in March. But any hopes he could mimic the job he did at Louth by guiding an underdog to a Leinster final were extinguished just a fortnight later, and this despite Hart's men racing into an 8-0 lead at a windy Park Talton. But a very strong third quarter from Meath saw them harness the wind, take control of the game, eventually emerging with a 125-21 win.
The first two Meath scores came from turnovers on Offaly attacks,
yeah,
and they were 1-pointers, and then they got a 2-pointer,
yeah,
and they kind of got their backs up a bit. Mickey, like, 10 points up at half time, what do you want your team doing in the second half?
Well, it's one of those new situations with the new rules. 10 points up in the old game, you've been home and hosed, not anymore. And I think it's a problem, not just because we could beat them today, but I think it's not exactly the right thing to get 2 points for scores from outside 40 metres now, since there isn't 15 behind the ball. I can see why it would have been introduced at the time there's 15 behind the ball, so you're encouraging people to punish defenders who stayed too deep. But with only 12 players now available to be back, you know, there's plenty of room to get scores, and to get 2 points for that, I'm not sure that it's such a wonderful thing. People get tired of these sight of this 2-pointer thing, you know. There's not a lot to it, you know. If somebody has the power and the bit of skill, you can shoot these over. The certain players can shoot them over, and that's almost worth a goal. And, you know, I think it takes away even some of the opportunities of people trying for goals, because they know there's three of them and you have two goals. Why bother going into the nest and trying to score a creative goal?
Roger Brennan, 10 points down at half time, your Meath team turned it on the second half. 17-point swing, must be happy with that.
Yeah, delighted. Obviously disappointed with the first half, Tommy, and how it went. But I suppose the spirit and the fight we showed in the second half was incredible. And overall, just delighted for the lads we were able to get it done.
In Kerry, you've handed out quite a bit of misery to Cork in the last 20 years here.
Yeah, and I don't see it changing. Cork, just funny. It's just hard to make out that they're just not, they're not progressing. I think it's 10 years now, maybe 10 years plus in Division 2. Loads of talent there, loads of footballers. Just can't get it going. Can't understand it. I don't see it changing this year.
There's every reason to believe that Cork pinned those quotes from Darren O'Sullivan to the Porky Queeve dressing room wall. A nip and tuck Munster semi-final was pockmarked by Reds for Paddy Clifford and Sean Brady. In fact, the Rebels nudged their noses in front with 3 minutes to play, only for a goal from halftime sub Shawnee O'Shea, swinging the advantage back the way of the kingdom. But extra time was forced in a thriller on Leaside, courtesy of points from Mark Cronin and Owen McSweeney. Cork's momentum was checked by that Brady red, and it ultimately took Joe O'Connor's goal to send Kerry into a 12th Munster final in 13 years. And despite the narrow escape, Kingdom legend James O'Donoghue was in rapture on the football pod after the fair offered up at the Pork.
It's a better game, isn't it? Like, after watching that, I was buzzing for about 4 hours after. I couldn't sleep or nothing after the Kerry Cork game. I was high as a kite. It was just great viewing. You didn't know which way it was going to go. You could actually be so on top and lose if you don't have your tactics right or your act together. It was a brilliant weekend. It's so much better than last year already. And you know what? It's going to be some summer. It's going to be a phenomenal summer.
The Kingdom's opponents on the Maybank holiday Sunday would be Clare, who are too much for tip in Ennis, beating their visitors by 218 to 115. Down were down and almost out of Brewster Park, finding themselves 7 points in arrears to Fermanagh. But with 6 minutes to go, a Daniel McGuinness goal had seen the deficit cut to just 2 points. And Ryan McAvoy's goal saw Down claim victory to set up an Ulster semi-final against either Donegal or Monaghan.
We're into the dying seconds. Monaghan will have possession from this line ball. Ryan O'Toole to take it. The hooter has sounded. There goes the full-time whistle. Monaghan will not get a chance to manufacture one last attack. And they are out of the Ulster Championship and they cannot believe it.
Hootergate would again rear its head during that Ulster quarter-final, with Monaghan left feeling aggrieved at referee David Koljic's interpretation of the new rule. Instead, it was Donegal that advanced to a provincial semi-final against Down, courtesy of a 23 points to 22 win over the Farnie men in Clonus. That same day in Salt Hill, Galway booked their place in the Connacht football final. 8 points from Rob Finnerty saw the tribesmen move to within touching distance of a fourth consecutive provincial title, courtesy of a 124 to 18 point schooling of Roscommon. And for the fourth time in 6 years, their opponents would be Mayo. With talk of league forfeits firmly in the rearview mirror, Leitrim put up a brave front against Mayo on a damp afternoon in Carrick on Shannon, but on a 9 point haul from Ryan O'Donoghue helped Kevin McStay's side advance with a 7 point margin of victory.
No matter if we had won by 40 and I'm coming out here to talk to you lads, it doesn't matter whether we won by 2, 22, because the only thing on offer here was the ticket to the final. And I'll repeat that, you know, that has been our goal from a long time. We're where we expected to be at this time of the year. We have to hope now that the plan we have for the Connacht final in terms of peaking and bringing our best performance to the table, that's when we see it in 2 weeks' time, because today was not where we needed it to be.
15 years it had been since Meath got one over on their old rivals Dublin.
Well, Dublin's unbeaten record, which has stretched back 18 matches in Leinster, is gone. At the semi-final stage, Eamon O'Brien's team have beaten the Dubs. It's Meath's first victory over Dublin since the Leinster final of 2001.
But their first championship meeting on neutral ground since 1958 would see the Royal County end their long wait for a win over the Dubs. In the end, the winning margin was 4 points, but by the break in Port Leash, Meath were actually up by 12. Corner forward Owen Frayne ended the day with 11 points to his name, with the Royals leaving mid-season coaching upheavals firmly in the past. This was a renewed Meath and one ready to tackle their first Leinster final since a 21-point drubbing at the hands of the Dubs.
Well, look, it was always on the horizon. I remember sitting in Avon actually watching a club match when the draw was made, so I knew if we got to where we would, we'd have to beat Dublin. So probably been prepping for a while for that. Looking for Dublin, they've been incredible, and they'll have some say in the All-Ireland Series before it's finished. I don't think they'll begrudge us one Leinster shot at a title there after them winning so many already, you know.
Questionable music coming out in the background. That's a very happy dressing room.
Yeah, the lads will be buzzing. I can't wait to get on the bus now and we'll head back. But listen, loads of work to do, so head down straight away.
Awaiting Robbie Brennan and Meath in that Leinster final would be another old ghost.
It's in the back of the net. Somebody scored it. Loud are protesting that it was pushed in. Meath fans are celebrating.
That is daylight robbery.
Victory snatched from their grasp.
Ger Brennan was again weaving his magic with Louth, securing them a Leinster final place for the third year running, something that hadn't occurred since 1914. Their ticket to Croke Park was punched this time with a 118-18 point win over Kildare in Tullamore, where Louth were certainly made to work. They didn't secure a lead in that game until just before half time, and ultimately it was Conal McKeever's goal before the break that would settle the game. This was a provincial championship that had been read its last rites on numerous occasions as Dublin asserted their dominance over the last decade and a half. So the Monday after those semi-finals, OTB's GAA correspondent and staunch Meath man, of course, Tommy Rooney, could not contain his glee at the current state of Leinster.
It all could have fallen apart. Their season was on a knife edge. They had made progress and we were crying out and praying for progress. We got a glimpse of it under Andy McIntyre when we got to Division 1 and it just hit a ceiling. And we were waiting for something. It could have all fallen apart. Those players have grabbed it by the scruff of the neck. And there's a real story in Meath's April. Right? And I know it's so important to double down on it and get the job done against Louth. But Louth are going in now. They're not being spoken about today. But it's three back-to-back Leinster finals for that Louth group. They must have been licking their lips yesterday to get a Meath side who they hammered out the gate last year and they hammered out the gate this year without their talisman Sam Mulroy. They have their own problems with injuries and getting boys back and stuff, but those injuries are going to clear up very, very quickly.
Ulster and Leinster shared a semi-finals weekend. Another Saturday evening in Clonus produced another classic as Armagh wrestled with Tyrone for a place in the Ulster decider. 44 points were evenly shared as the two northern powerhouses came down the stretch. But as Conor Turbitt broke towards the Tyrone goal, he was felled by Derek Canavan for a free that seemed easier to miss. The passing of the buzzer only added to the drama as Rory Grugan bisected the post for the reigning All-Ireland champions, setting them up for a third consecutive provincial final. But for the second year running, would Donegal be their opponents? Clonus again was the venue, but this semi-final was far more academic than its predecessor. Down battled gamely to keep Donegal honest, but Jim McGuinness's side were always able to keep their opponents at arm's length, helped by a first half goal from Paddy McBrearty. There were 6 points between them by close of play, with McGuinness saying patience was the key to getting over them and setting up that blockbuster with Armagh. But that would have to wait.
They were patient on the ball. They're probably trying to slow the game down a wee bit initially. Flooded a lot of players inside and then looked to bring more players out the way. So to open up a wee bit of pockets of space there inside the D. And sort of we had to be patient with that, you know. And also championship games anyway, that's one of the number one things you have is patience. They always end up coming to life at some stage. It's just important that you're ready for that and deal with that. And hopefully take your moments when the moments come, you know. So yeah, listen, delighted to get over the line, obviously. 2 weeks now. There was our third game today in 3 weeks in the Ulster Championship. It's a lot of going for the players and the supporters, I suppose, in many respects. But we're delighted to be in the final. Obviously, Armagh and ourselves know each other very well at this stage. Played them last year in the final and played them in the league last year. And we'll be looking forward to that challenge.
We'll go with Bate Mayo. You think we'll go with Bate Mayo? Not if they have Willie Joe.
An extra layer was added to the renewal of Mayo and Galway's rivalry in the Connacht final, with the seedings revealed for the group stage of the championship prior to that clash in Castlebar. The winners of the final would land in Group 4, along with Dublin, Derry and the Ulster runners-up, while the Connacht runners-up would be in Group 1, with the Ulster champions, Tyrone and Cavan. The complexion of that draw led some to contend that losing the Connacht final could be beneficial to either Galway or Mayo in the long run. Utter nonsense, former Mayo boss James Horan told Off the Ball.
It's mad, isn't it? We're the National League, if you remember. We didn't want to win that either. No one wanted to win that. No one wants to win the championship now or the provincials now. It's crazy talk. It really is. Galway coming to Castlebar, going for 4 in a row. Their 10th Connacht final in a row, consecutive appearances, how well they've done, the team that they are, and the rivalry between Mayo. There is absolutely no way whatsoever any talk of a draw will come into any of the preparation for this game. There's absolutely none. It's a nonsense.
Any suggestion of a detente would be put to rest on the McHale Park pitch. Mayo were rocked back on their heels, having to overcome an 8-point deficit by the time the halftime whistle blew. With the wind literally at their backs, Kevin McStay's players rallied until a black card was brandished Rory Brickenden's way, 8 minutes from time. A late goal chance from Matty Ruan was kicked wide, and Galway would retain their grip on the Nestor Cup with a 2-point win, and with it a place in that so-called group of death in the last 16.
I've got one last chance to kick a 2-pointer. Some of the Galway fans are on their feet. They think it's all over. It's not. Yes, Mayo have got one more 2-point effort to send us to extra time. Is that mad Matty Ruan on the right hand side? Who's going to kick the 2-pointer for Mayo to save the day in Castlebar? Can Galway win 4 in a row for the first time since 66 to send us into a group which will include the Dubs in 2 weeks' time in Pearce Stadium in their first game? Here's Galway going to hang on for victory. There's a shot coming from their left-hand side. This to level the Connacht final. It's wide. Galway are the champions. Galway win by 2. 117 to 115. There's no time for the full-time whistle. The pitch is invaded. It's maroon and white forever. Galway invade. They win it by 2. Galia Vavu, 117.
Down in Killarney the same day, Kerry made it 5 in a row in Munster with their 86th provincial title in all, earned via a 420-21 point win over Clare. While other provincial football competitions have either remained in rude health or been outright revived, Munster's breathing became far more laboured, but that was of no concern to David Clifford, who kicked 2-5 in a masterful display, earning him a comparison to a former English sharpshooter whose name would also be in the news this summer.
And David Clifford, those goals, supreme again, like...
reaction for the second one, though, was a bit like a centre-forward, like Gabby Lineker on his day. It was kind of an instinctive finish. And it was great to see David enjoying his football again.
Louth versus Meath in a Leinster final. The second Sunday in May felt like time for an exorcism. 15 years on from that infamous moment in the shadow of the Canal End, the wee county were back at Croke Park, facing their illustrious neighbours for Leinster supremacy. If the 2010 final was settled by a controversial goal, Ger Brennan's Louth seemed determined to bury those ghosts once and for all, with Sam Mulroy, Ryan Burns and Craig Lennon all finding the net before half-time. Despite arguably dominating the first period, Meath only held a 1-point lead at the break. Meath brought Jordan Morris back into the fray during the second half from injury, and he set up Matty Costello for a goal that set Louth nerves on edge. But a 2-pointer from Captain Mulroy and a further score from Lennon meant the Delaney Cup was going back to Louth for the first time in 68 years.
The seconds. We're inside the last minute. The Hader says, Louth are Leinster champions! Louth are Leinster champions! Have a miss for Gilles! We have new champions! Louth have done it. They've held out. Craig Lennon with the last point. The ceiling score. And what a game of possession football in the closing stages from Louth. Managing the Gael absolutely superbly. They've won out 3-14 to 1-18. I can only imagine the scenes in the next few minutes. Louth fans will be ecstatic. And Louth, after 68 years of pain, have finally got their hands and reached the holy grail again of a Leinster Championship title.
I just fell on the ground. I just couldn't believe that was it. Like, I dreamt of this moment, just sitting in there in the green room, just with the lads. And yeah, you try and think of the process and like keep coming back to like you've a job to do. Like, but ultimately, like, this is the feeling that you're chasing all the time, and it's hard to remove that. And it's hard, especially the rivalry with Meath, a healthy rivalry between the players, but there's just so much went into it, you know. It was such a big occasion for both sets of teams. But yeah, it was just amazing. And that final whistle went, just to be on the right side of it was unbelievable.
Louth captain Sam Mulroy there. Up in Clonus that evening, it was all-out warfare. By the time the full-time whistle was greeted with an all-out brawl, Donegal had prevailed by just a single point and after extra time. But that it was ever this close was testament to the battling qualities of the reigning All-Ireland champions. In both halves of normal time, Donegal had racked up 7-point leads only for the Orchard County to chip away and chip away on about even by Hugh McFadden's curled goal 8 minutes after half-time. McGeaney's men were deadly within 2-point range, with an Oisín O'Neill free, the highlight, while Oisín Connolly's point forced added time. Armagh would edge in front during extra time, only for a well-worked goal finished off by Kieran Moore to stymie their momentum. Armagh keeper Ethan Rafferty missed a 2-point opportunity, meaning Niall O'Donnell's point saw Donegal retain their Ulster title. A jubilant Jim McGuinness spoke to off the ball Stephen Gleeson after a pulsating Ulster final.
And you know, you're a packed house out there and the sun's shining, and you know, we all travelled to Ulster finals as children, and that's the moment. The house is full and the sun is shining, and somebody's going to win and somebody unfortunately is not going to win. And we had a lot of days against Armagh in many respects where we were out the wrong side of it. A lot of days I played in Ulster finals. They're very, very special. They're very, very special, and we will enjoy tonight and enjoy that with our families and everything else, and refocus then as quickly as we can, because another competition is going to start now. But we're not talk too much about that tonight. Just proud of them tonight, proud of the way they went about it and kept going to the very end, and they're entitled to celebrate.
Victory would also mean Donegal reunions with Ulster foes Tyrone and Cavan, as well as Mayo in Group 1 of the Sam Maguire. Armagh would have to deal with the group of death of Galway, Dublin and Derry. Louth's reward for that Leinster final success was a seemingly manageable group of Monaghan, Down and Clare, while Meath's quest for a return to the All-Ireland knockout phase would see them take on a tough group that included Cork, Roscommon and Kerry.